So the next speaker is Cindy Reinhardt King from Biomedical Engineering.
Good morning. So I'm going to talk, much like the last speaker, I'm going to talk about a little bit of a different way to approach a very old problem, and that's the problem of atherosclerosis. And I have to say at the outset, it makes me a little nervous to be speaking about cardiovascular disease in front of our president, but I'll give it a try anyway. So I'm a biomedical engineer, so one of the things we do is we try and take a quantitative approach to understanding human health, and you'll see how that's implemented in my talk. So atherosclerosis, for those of you who don't know, is classically called hardening of the arteries. You've probably seen the various commercials for a number of different drugs that have been developed. And it manifests itself basically in these plaques that form along artery walls. And it's dangerous because these plaques can dislodge and cause stroke by traveling downstream. They can also continue to grow and actually occlude the blood vessel. They can keep blood from flowing, cutting off blood supply, and they can cause myocardial infarction. It can cause heart attack. And so it's actually one of the leading underlying causes of various cardiovascular diseases that can result in both death or high rates of morbidity. And so one of the things I want to say at the outset is the first, say, five or so slides might be a little bit scary, but I'm going to tell you there is a silver lining at the end. So hold on for the ride. Okay, so... Okay, so atherosclerosis basically progresses based on the uptake of cholesterol. So we all know we have to keep our LDL low. And this is a cross-section of a blood vessel. These are endothelial cells. They line the surface of every single blood vessel in our bodies. And basically, as atherosclerosis progresses, what happens is cholesterol that's circulating in your blood gets underneath the blood vessel wall, depicted in yellow here. This induces an inflammatory reaction where your white blood cells are recruited to that site to basically eat up the cholesterol and get rid of it, because that's their job, is to get rid of foreign invaders. The problem is once they eat up this cholesterol, they get weighed down. They become what are called foam cells, and then they sit underneath your blood vessel wall, and then they accumulate, and that's what causes plaques. And so if you think about the progression of atherosclerosis, and this is what the NIH cares about, they care about prevention more than they care about treatment, what they want to do is be able to prevent these initial steps, this cholesterol uptake. And that's why the most popular drugs on the market are all cholesterol-lowering drugs. So get the cholesterol out of the bloodstream, and they're going to prevent plaque accumulation. Okay, so one of the things we want to know, again, is how athero starts. How does atherosclerosis start? And we started with an interesting and, again, potentially scary statistic, but basically it occurs in 50% of the population over 65. And greater than 80% of the population over 85 has some formation of atherosclerotic plaques within their blood vessels. What we also noticed is that in 100% of the population, blood vessels get stiff. So try as we might to prevent wrinkles in our face, which is basically a breakdown of the matrix and the stiffening of our matrix and our skin, the same thing happens in our blood vessels. And they basically start to lose their integrity, and they'll stiffen. And that's part of the reason it's called hardening of the arteries. And so the blood vessels get stiffer, and it actually correlates with the risk of cardiovascular disease. So clinically, they can measure blood vessel stiffness, and they can predict the likelihood of cardiovascular events. However, it isn't entirely clear why that relationship exists. And so one of the things we want to know is there a cause and effect relationship between blood vessel stiffness, basically how compliant, soft, and deformable a blood vessel is, and the progression of atherosclerosis. So we start by trying to create mimics of blood vessels. So we're engineers. It's very hard to work in animal models because of the number of factors that are present in any living system. And so one of the things we've done is create biomaterials. Now, the first thing you're going to say is, hey, that doesn't look like a blood vessel. But in fact, the most important feature is this is the actual material here. It's basically a thin sheet. It has the consistency of something like jello. It's a hydrogel. And the nice thing about this particular material that we use is that we can make it just about any stiffness that we want. And so we can make it as soft as 200 pascals, which is like goo, and as stiff as about 50,000 pascals, not something hard enough to knock on, but relatively stiff. And we can make it to match the stiffness of an artery, which is about 2,500 pascals. So that's right in the region of this material. And so we're using this material because we can mimic the stiffness of arteries, and we can mimic the stiffness of arteries with age. And the question is, if we put cells on these matrices that mimic what blood vessels are doing and how they stiffen, do they start to change their behavior? So what we found is vessel stiffening with age, which unfortunately is occurring pretty universally, can promote atherosclerosis. But the silver, or in this case red, lining is that we can potentially inhibit this process by inhibiting the cell response. And we're really excited about this because, again, it's really hard to prevent the vessels from stiffening. It's very universal. You know, and we can't prevent our skin from wrinkling short of Botox, but it's very hard to prevent vessels from stiffening, but we can develop drugs to prevent the cells from realizing that they're stiffening. The last thing I'll say is thanks to my collaborators, Chris Schaefer, who's in biomedical engineering, also helped with the imaging, and Mike King, who helped us with white blood cells. I'll also point out we have a steady rotation of undergraduates in the lab who help contribute to our work. Again, we pair them up directly with PhD students and postdocs, so they get firsthand exposure to how research is done in a one-on-one mentoring situation, and as well our funding. And so with that, I'll take any questions.